Good morning. It is really good to be with you today. I wanted to begin again by saying thank you to all of you who were praying for us. Last week, we were out in Nevada to be part of my mom's memorial service. And if I'm emotional, it's because that was the song we sang to close her service. But it is the testimony of everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, you have been so, so good. Amen? On our worst day, he has been so good. And so I'm going to take a lot of joy and confidence in God's goodness. And I'm excited to jump back into the story that we find in the book of Joshua. If you're new with us, we tried to confuse you. Pastor Mike has been doing a series on Jonah. And I am doing one on Joshua. So if anybody asks you, what are you teaching at the church? Say, it starts with a J. If it's Jesus, praise God, but you're safe, you know, in that. This story, we gave an introduction to it 2 weeks ago. But today, I believe that chapter 1, 1 through 18, is God looking at Joshua and saying, it's your turn. It is your turn, Joshua, to lead my people. And I want to confidently call you forward to stepping up into what I've called you to do. And I believe that God, through his word, while we are not Joshua, we are called by God into the work that he is doing. Do you believe that? Well, guess what? It's your turn. It is very easy in American Christianity to sit in a passive position but not step into what God is calling you to do. And I don't get me wrong, it is hard to step up into what God is calling you to do because we're all so prone to look around the room and see other people who've done it better, you know? It's hard to come up and step into what God wants you to do. That's what God is calling us to do, and I don't think we want to miss the moment. You guys have probably watched our whole country be electrified and a lot of the world be electrified by the death of Charlie Kirk. The greatest thing about Charlie Kirk is that he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and he proclaimed him unashamedly. Amen? So powerful. But do you know that God has gotten more mileage out of this than anyone could have anticipated? I am watching the gospel get shared on network television. The younger generation, which for a long time has had its hand up at God and fully diving into the chaos of a culture that has stepped away from God, is by droves asking, longing, and wanting truth. Church, are you ready for that? Are you ready for the awakening that God has brought about in an unusual moment? Am I? I didn't plan this for this September, did you? But God is moving. God's always moving. But as a church, the question is, are we ready to step into what God wants to do? Our motivation, our job has not changed. It will never change. Though big events happen, though people lose their life for the sake of Christ, nothing changes. We are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is our calling every day. But sometimes we become more keenly aware that our God truly is on the throne and he directs traffic. Amen? And are we ready? And the truth is, it is scary to step into what only God can do. But that should be every day of our life. And so this has taken on a little bit more meaning for me. This idea of it's your turn. It's hard to follow and to step into what God wants to do when you're looking at somebody else. My ministry started as a high school pastor in West Michigan. I followed a pastor. The youth pastor had been there for 13 years. That was rough. Then I got my first senior pastorate, and I followed a man who had been preaching in that pulpit for 36 years. That was educational. It was tough. Then my senior pastorate before I came here, I followed a guy who had been there 24 years. You talk about difficult, stepping into the role of people. And it doesn't matter if they were great or they were mediocre or whatever you want to say. What they had been was faithful. And the idea that you're going to step in and give leadership or step into a role that had been dominated. But I'm telling you, I never followed Moses. How about you? You know? The man with whom God spoke face to face. I never followed that. It was intimidating. In fact, my goal is to be here at Elgin E-Free long enough that the next guy has a miserable beginning. No, that's not. Fine, you try it. No, I'm not. God, I hope it's an awesome handoff someday. But the truth is, whether you're in the front role or whatever role God's called you to, it's hard to step into it with confidence. Because our eyes so often go out here and they don't go up. We look around. You guys, it's your turn. And I believe this, and I've prayed about this. I believe God is saying, it's your turn to do what? To receive my promises. To receive my promises and live within them. To recognize my requirements. What does God demand of you? He wants you to know. And then to obey God's instruction in a new and dynamic, life-giving way that you would follow His instruction and what He's called you to do. And finally, to enjoy God's affirmation. You want to know one of the biggest things that's missing in the church today? Is people who are sensing the affirmation of God as they obey Him. We're all sitting back hoping God will move and missing the promises and in His presence and not seeing what He's doing. So I want you to open your Bible up to Joshua chapter 1. I got a lot of territory to cover, and it's me, so pray. But I want to talk to you about receiving God's promises. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 1 are verses that many times you've probably heard them quoted. You know, how many of you have heard this phrase, be strong and courageous? You know, be careful to do all that's written in the law of God. We quote these verses a lot, but these came in a moment where God was calling Joshua to believe Him and to act because he believed Him. Let me read it to you. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Listen to this. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of this land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. That is a phenomenal passage. Why? Because God is trying to start with something that we cannot afford to miss. The promises of God are not the promises of man. God's promises are His word, His certainty. They can never be retracted, never rescinded. He never will repent of what He's promised and say, well, that wasn't a good idea. Maybe I'll rewind the tape. What He says He'll do, He'll do. And in this passage, listen to this, all that God asks of Joshua, He guarantees. You like that? Everything God asks of us, He guarantees. Just in summary, He tells Joshua in the one verse two, He says, cross the Jordan. And you're like, why should we cross the Jordan? He says, because I'm giving the land to you. Cross the Jordan. Why? I'm giving it to you. Then in verse 3, He basically says, everywhere you put your foot down, I've already given you that land. Conquer the land. Why should we do that? Because I'm giving it to you. Verse 6, divide the inheritance. Literally, you will give these people what I promise, the exact boundaries and the plot of land that I promised to the 12 tribes of Israel. I have guaranteed it. Church, until you understand that aspect of the promises of God, He never comes to you or me and says, well, I think or I hope. He says, I promise. Years ago, he's here today, so I'm going to pick on him. My youngest son, Ben, I took him fishing. The rest of the kids were with me, but he was really small. And this was one of his first fishing trips with me. And Ben is a thoughtful lad and contemplative. I love that about him. And I'm standing there, and I'm baiting his hook, and I feel this little tug on my leg. I look at him, he goes, Dad, yeah, are there fish in there? It's kind of like, if I'm going to do this, there better be fish in there. Like, 3 and a half, you're already, all right, okay. He literally was like, are there fish in there? And I turned to him and I'm like, yes, son, there are fish in there. And then I realized I had just given my word to a child. And I'm like, oh God, let there be fish in there. You know, I just put my life on the line. And by the grace of God, we caught these little ridiculously small fish, but how many of you know it's still okay to be a child of God and to stand and go, God, is there life out there? Is there hope out there? Are you, God, what do you, and to hear God say, I promise. There's no uncertainty. There's no question mark in what God calls you to do that He has guaranteed before you even act upon it. Because He's a sovereign God, amen? Church, this is so important. Everything God asks, He guarantees. And you want to know why that? And here's a lesson that's hard for you to learn. How many of you know God's promises are bigger than you? Some of you can only conceptualize of God's promises in the context of your little life. Have you noticed the name of Moses in this chapter? 11 times God will bring up Moses. 57 times He will bring up Moses in this book. And He will say something that should capture attention. He will say, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. That should snap your radar to attention. Why? Because our faith is ultimately about the God of all our heroes. I thought a lot about this, and it's really personal this week. My job at my mom's memorial service was to tell the story of her life. And I got through it, but man, it was close, you know, just. But I so thought about this woman, the little 5'2" general, from the moment her life started in opposition and hard. She lost her dad when she was 13, became mom to her siblings, lost her childhood at that point, had to take care of them. Her mom went back to work full time, I could take you through the whole story. And all along the way, you see this person who keeps following God, keeps being obedient. She meets my dad. They end up in ministry, loves him passionately, have effective ministry, loses him. She was 46 years old. And she lost my dad and then got cancer and had MS, had every kind of difficulty. And yet in the midst of all that decides God's calling me to go to Russia to minister women. And she was in Russia. She was in India. She was in Africa. She was on all these continents. And God continued to use her. And everywhere she went, she faced opposition and she trusted God. And in the moment, I got to this point. And I just marveled at her faith. And then I read this verse. And it's like God saying to me, John, just as I've been with your mom, I will be with you. Because my mom's not the hero of the story. And Joshua's not the hero of the story. And you are not the hero of your story. The hero is Jesus Christ the righteous who lived and died for us. Amen? And Moses, you never take away the uniqueness of what God packaged in that man. We can celebrate that. But he is nothing without the presence of God. Joshua, for all of this, you know, nothing apart from the presence of God. He is simply an obedient vessel who believed God's promises. Which means stepping up into what God wants you to do is not about your equality with those around you. It is about your awareness of a God who is matchless. Amen? That's what it takes. God's promises are bigger than you. He's been working on his plan for a long time. Do you agree? You know what God's doing in the world? You know what he's promised today? He's promised to build his church, not your 401k. So where's your joy? Where are you seeing him? Where's it starting? Unless you think you're just a cog in the wheel, I love how personal God's promises too. His plan is his plan, but these are personal promises. Notice what he says in verse 5 and 6. No man, he's talking to Joshua. And by the way, he's talking to Joshua. I've heard people quote this. No man will be able to stand before you all your days. You need to just go out there and take on the world. No one will be. He said that to Joshua. He didn't say that to you. That's a good way to get run over by a truck, you know? That's not, you don't pray that. What we understand is he was making personal promises to Joshua. It was a real relationship. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. You know what God promises Joshua? And this is a promise that comes to us too. He has promised Joshua his presence. How many of you felt safer as a kid when mom or dad was in the room? How many of you felt freaked out the first time they weren't? You're all on your own. Guess what the Christian never has? I never have a day absent of the presence of my Savior because of the Holy Spirit. But his presence is transforming. Basically, he says, I will make you sufficient, Joshua, for the task. No one's going to be able to stand before you. Why? I'm with you. In fact, I'll make you sufficient for the task. I will never leave you, and that is the reason why you will never fail. It's not because you're so good, it's just because I'm there. How many of you are encouraged by that thought? How many of you are glad your success does not ride on your ability? It is kept in one thought. Is Jesus Christ with you? That's the question. And so he says, because I'm never going to leave you, I will make you a success. But this is where it all comes together. Church, listen to me. He says, Joshua, I will make you a success in my purposes. Some of you are frustrated with a Christianity in which God is not making you a success in your purposes. And some of yours are good purposes. God, I am purposefully pursuing a healthy marriage. God, I am personally, I want children who are, you know, doing well. I want a job that is safe. I deserve, you know, I think these things are good things and everything. And God's like, time out. You belong to me. I don't belong to you. And I have a plan. And my plan and my presence are where fullness of joy exists. You know why you're struggling? It's not the balance of do you want good things, do you want bad things? It's just you've met the whole purpose. God is doing this today, church. He's building a church. He's winning men and women from all over the world to himself, rescuing them from hell and sin and transforming their lives. And he saved you and designed you to participate in what he is doing. And he says, as you will give your life to me with a desire to obediently be part of what I am doing, you can count on me to do what you can't, and that's give you joy. Christian, if you belong to Jesus, the only way you're ever going to have joy is experiencing him. You may say amen to that. Church, that's what's going on here. What God promised Joshua is, I will make you successful, Joshua, in what I am doing. The question is, which team are you on? Anybody glad football started again? I know this is so cliche, but I literally had an enjoyable moment of watching college football yesterday. I was just like, oh, all is well in the world. It was very shallow, but I enjoyed it. And then I kept hearing this word, phrase, transfer portal. Any of you know what I'm talking about? It's a student was playing in one place, but he transfers to a different team. And what I love is that so many of these stories were, well, he was at this place and it wasn't working out. But he got into the transfer portal, and now he's in this place, and now he's having a rock star season. And then you ask the kid, you always interview the kid, why are you having a rock star season? Coaching. I just really feel like this connect. I'm really, this coach, you know, I feel like he's doing, can I just tell you something? You need to get on Team Jesus. You need to understand that we exist within the promises of God. And God has promised to give us favor and to walk with us and be successful in what He is doing. So the biggest question of your turn now isn't, oh, will I be sufficient? It's, God, is this what you're calling me to do and what you've promised? And am I aligned with you? God's promises to you personally. God has promised to make you a success in what He wants to do in your family, what He wants to do in your marriage, what He wants to do in your church, how He wants to use you. That is where He's promised to make you successful and to be with you. It does not mean He doesn't care about the details of your life. How many of you know God cares about the details of your life more than you do? It just means He has priorities in His promises. Well, if you're going to partake of these amazing promises, I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, you've got to recognize God's requirements. Look down at verse 6 through 9. God says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate on this thing day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I want to tell you, friends, it is your turn to do what God's called you to do, and this is God's requirement. You be strong and be courageous. And He is talking to everyone in this room, including you stressed out, knee-knocking worry warts. That should be unanimous. Everybody here, I was talking to all of you. Some of you are like, looking at people? Sinner? No. All of us have just been called out by God. Did you hear it? Church, every one of you is called to be strong and to be courageous. Let me explain to you what that means. It doesn't mean you strapping on, you know, I've got the sword, the shield, you know, I've got my sword standing in the middle of my employer's office. Rawr! No, typically you'd be in there going, oh Lord, be present. No, to be strong and courageous, literally the words mean this, to be determined to step into all that God has promised. To be doggedly determined to step into what God has promised. If God has promised it, then your job is to be strong and be courageous. What does that mean? I will step into what God has promised because God is the one who promised it. Period. It doesn't mean you do this without any moment of just holding on to Jesus white-knuckled, but it means I will not miss the opportunity to step into what God has promised to do. One writer said, what is faith but to take hold of the promises of God sight unseen? You say, how do I be that? Well, you have to focus on what we just saw. If you want to take hold of God's promises, you have to believe in them. God, you've made promises, and then you have to live with the reality of God's presence. The confidence is existing in this sandwich. How many of you like a good sandwich? I'm about to tell you something profound. The Christian life is a sandwich. It is an experience of relationship that exists, hemmed in and held together between the promises of Almighty God and the presence of Almighty God. And everything we do is to exist within these things. Well, you know, I don't know the problem with most of our lives. Some of you are trying to know Jesus eating an unwich. I will never forget when this new fad came out, the unwich. I was personally offended. I remember I sat down with somebody and was like, well, I just want an unwich. I was like, what is an unwich? And they put a ham salad on the plate. That's all it was. It's a ham salad. I resent the word witch being even attached to it. There was nothing there. It was a ham salad. I was like, that's not a sandwich. Some of you are like, you're pathetic, John. I'm passionate. That was not a sandwich. Why? Because some of you hear over and over again, you need to do more in your devotional life. You need to spend time in God's Word. You need to focus more on getting to know Jesus. And you're like, you know, I kind of pick it up and I put it down and I read it and I'm just, you want to know why? Because you are trying to do the relationship you have with God without His promises and without a confidence of His presence. It is between what God has promised to do and the reality that He will never leave you or forsake you. You know what that gives you permission to do? To know Him through His Word. Because you stop trying to come to the Bible thinking, I'll be better, I'll be worse, or I need to know more, I need to know that. None of that is done. You begin to think, Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in me, He's going to complete it. He's promised. He won't fail. So I will pick up the Bible, even though I'm an easily distracted person. So I will come to it with a confidence that God wants to speak to me. But I will never come if you do not hear the promises of what God said He would do with your life and what He says He will do, not on the basis of you, but on the basis of Him. The packaging of God is awesome. Everything exists. And you say, okay, He requires that. Well, if He requires me to be strong and courageous, I'm going to have to believe His promises and that He's present. Okay, and then what does He want me to do with that? Well, be obediently dependent upon His Word. Did you see what those verses said? Everything is, Joshua, do what I've asked you, believe my promises. How are you going to stay in that place? Get into my Word. Obey it. Do not depart from it. Literally, God wants us to be continually dependent upon the Word, and not in the way that so many of us come to. It's like, oh, I need a Jesus hit. I need something. I need some Jesus today. I'm going to just, you know, Okay. Don't shave a goat. I guess that's. The word to meditate is the word to chew. It means you take hold of Scripture every day and you chew on it. And you roll it over your tongue back and forth. And you ask the question, what does this taste like? What is this? God, what are you saying to me? What do you want from me? I wonder what you think about that. I wonder why you thought that I needed to read that today. How does this apply to my life, Jesus? And I just begin to savor it and everything. And you know what I'm convinced of before I ever start is I need to respond to every word written. None of this is casual. None of this is secondary. Obey, He says, every word of it. Obey it. Why should I obey it? Because you promised. I can't obey that. I'm here. I'll try. I surrender. I'll obey you. God wants obedient dependence. God wants continual interaction with His Word. He says success for the Christian is living according to the Word of God and when God is instructing your life. You see, if you don't believe in the promises of God or in the presence of God, you will make up your own version of Christianity every day. You will assume somehow you're sufficient to write the lesson plan for the day. How many of you, you're a lousy lesson planner? Anybody testify? You're not. You know where confidence comes from? You open up the book, you read it, and you say, God, you've promised to build. God, you've promised to be present. You're saying this today. Apparently today, you want me to go talk to my kid. I didn't think that's what you wanted today, but Lord, you're pretty clear here about what I should do when I do this and everything. That's the conversation. That's the biggest thing going on today. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to pray all day about the conversation I need to have with that kid because we're at odds and all this, and so today, that's what I'm doing, God. And you know what? You have no idea the mileage for the kingdom God wants to get out of the plan He has for your day. But why did you have that day in the first place, one where God showed up and redirected you and moved you? You had it because you believed His promises and you believed He was present and you got into what He said. Joshua, go conquer a complex territory with multiplicities of different tribes and different values and different obstacles. Take on an offensive that the greatest general on the planet would have ulcers to do. How's he going to do that? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Really? Yeah. How many of you believe the word of God's sufficient? Do we? That's what he's saying. Be obediently dependent upon God's word, and then God will bless you. God will bless you. The Word of God is the place where the meal comes to life, where we begin to experience God. Church, this is what is missing. If you fail to grapple with God's promises or God's presence, you're not engaging in the meal. We are not a legalistic church. The pastor struggles with discipline in his daily devotions. Pray for me. It's always been a struggle for me. I'm the butterfly boy. Woo. But life and joy come in a relationship when I open up God's Word daily and have a conversation with Him. And I come willing to say, God, whatever you say, I will do it. I will obey. I'm going to obey. I'm going to believe that this is how you want to glorify yourself. This is how you want to take territory. This is how you want to make me sufficient for the life that I've got. You're out ahead of me, God. Do I really trust that this Word of God is living and active and sharper and sufficient and all of the things we say it is? So God calls us to this place of obeying instruction. Some of you are looking at the clock. Don't worry. It ends tight. What is shocking to me is that God tells this to Joshua about his law and about what he's called him to do, and there is no time lapse between God saying it and Joshua obeying it. There's no time lapse. It just says then, immediate. Joshua had a conversation with God, and he turned and said, God said we're crossing the river. In 3 days, make provisions. That's exactly what we're doing. There's no hesitation between Joshua's hearing the command of God and obeying. One of the biggest problems we have is you are not ignorant of the commands of God, but you are trying to be sufficient for how it plays out tomorrow. You reserve the right to pace your obedience based on how you think you need to be prepared in 3 days. I love the fact that Joshua doesn't say anything about weapons. Wouldn't you think? You're about to go in and conquer the land. Somebody should be thinking about the arsenal, right? Somebody should be thinking about the arrow count. Somebody should be praying. It's going to take us days and weeks to... And Joshua just says, get food ready. Why? Because all God asked them to do at that point was cross a river. But some of you, and your pastor sometimes, doesn't obey because I'm always looking beyond what God has called me to be obedient in. That hard conversation he just called me to have, I want to massage it and be sovereign over in its ending. That step of restoration, I want to make sure that it lands in my favor. So I want to do all that I can to, quote, be prepared. Really, I just don't want to get hurt. And so I pace my obedience. Am I talking to anybody in here? Do you pace yours? God says, if he said it, let's obey it. And obey it immediately. Don't wait. God loves it when we obey. That was kind of funny. I'm a lot careful, more careful now than I was when I first became a pastor to dish out challenges. At the same time, I want to tell you, I love junior hires. If you're in here and you're a junior hire, I love you. Because you're just crazy enough to do whatever I say. I went on a retreat. And I had a group of kids with me, and I told them a story about going to this retreat where a bunch of college guys were the leaders. And one night, they got us all into this room, and they did something so gross and so weird. They took fishing line, and they balled up the end, and they lit it, and they made this little nub. And a guy stuck it in his nose and went, and then he pulled it out of his mouth. That would be sick enough. Some of you, this is all you're going to remember, and I'll regret. But he did that, and then five more guys did the same line. They called it brain flossing. I think it's funny. I tell this group that, yeah, well, you guys think you're all bad and everything, but you never brain flossed, ha-ha. I come in later that night after the ceremony, and I come, and there is a kid down on the ground, gagging, coughing. He looks up at me. Tears are coming down his face. Snot's running down his face. He's like, oh, Pastor Don, I did it. All I could think was, I've lost my ministry over some stupid. But he did it. It was awesome. I was so proud of that kid. I'm like, you were just crazy enough. And he pulled it off. It was amazing. Don't ever do that. You're like, what a terrible. No. Some of you are scared to immediately obey. Now, I wouldn't suggest that as the illustration. But God comes along and says, obey. Obey me. Because if you don't obey me, you'll never be affirmed by me. Let me tell you what I meant. God's promises to us exist before we ever move. God's promise and presence are guaranteed to the Christian because of the cross of Christ. Amen? But the affirmation of God is different. The experience of him relationally is different than his promises. In fact, some of you are frustrated because you see great promises of God, and then you don't know, why am I not experiencing this? In this last point, where God calls us to obey his instructions, he then gives Joshua this incredible moment, and I'll try to summarize it in 2 minutes. Here it is. When they were about to enter the land, there were three tribes, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And you want to know what? Everything that God had promised to give them as far as land was already on the side of the river where they were. That was their portion. That was their inheritance. They fought a battle against Og of Bashan, and God had given them victory. And now they are literally going into their territory. They're starting to set up their little communities and cities, and tents are going up, and they have the full promise of God given to them. And you know what Joshua's first job was? To go in and tell every one of those men over their household, God has done what he said he would do through Moses, amen? And they're like, amen. He says, and guess what? Now you will leave your wives and your children, and you will pack up ready for war, and you will come across this river, and you will not come home until everyone has received what God has promised. Have you ever come to a comfortable group that have fought hard and then told them, suck it up. How many of you wouldn't want to be in that business meeting? How many of you would fear, like, literally, this is his first action, obey me. And so he turns, and he has to walk into what is hard. And yet, I just want you to read, just see this. Verse 16, then they answered Joshua, after he delivers this news, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, I just for a second want you to think about this from Joshua's perspective. He's standing before a group of people that numbers in the hundreds of thousands. He has delivered hard news. Did you know that the conquest will take years? He is calling people into years of sacrifice, even though they've already got what God promised. And in that moment, they turn around and they do two things. And I think for Joshua, it probably turned into a worship moment. Because the first thing that they do is they affirm God's promise. God said to Joshua, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Teaching Joshua the lesson, it's about my presence. He stands before those people, not sure how they're going to respond, and they say, we will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Why? Because we sense the presence of God with you. And it's about God. And in that moment, he realized they're going to follow me not because of me, but because God's with me. And then the second thing would have been awesome. Like, he's like, all right, they're going to be with me. And you can just see some leader from the crowd going, and? And if anybody doesn't like it, we're going to put them to death. And they're all like, yeah, yeah. And then they all turn away. And you could almost just see this playing out real time. Some guy comes back and goes, and Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. We're with you. Sometimes we fail to miss the human moments where they turned around and gave the exact words that God had promised. And I know this is extra biblical and that I don't know what happens, but if Joshua is the man that I think he was, I think that night, as he finally got alone in his tent, he dropped to his knees and his hands went up. And then he whispered, God, help me be more strong and courageous. Because he experienced the presence of God. That is the affirmation. Can I tell you something? God makes promises and promises his presence before you move, but you will only experience his affirmation in obedience. That is when you will know him and you will sense his delight in those who will trust him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your people. Lord, I truly believe all over this congregation, and not just words, that you are calling people up. You're saying it's your turn. I don't want you to hold back. I want you to follow me. Oh God, today may your promises and your presence give us permission to dive into your word this week. And then may we be quick to respond to it. God, I don't know where everyone in this congregation needs to obey you. Your Holy Spirit does. But Lord, give us ears to hear that we may begin to obey you. Be strong and courageous. Be doggedly committed to doing what your word asks us. And then God, may we see your power and your affirmation. Lord, you delight to show off in weak people. And we are your people. And we want you to show off. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.